One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
It's the third chapter of the book of Revelation. It's Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to stop in chapter 1 for just a moment, because these two verses have been in my mind this morning, and I didn't know for sure whether to preach on them until I prayed, but I believe this is it, in Revelation chapter 1. Now, verse 5 said, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him." Now, that's what we want the service to be about this morning. We want it to be unto him. Unto him that loved us, and then notice what he did. He washed us. Unto him that loved us and washed us, notice what he washed us from our sins. How? In his own blood. That's the world's greatest detergent. We've been, you know, we didn't have any detergents when I was coming up on the farm. They didn't know anything about washing powders. They didn't know anything about does. I mean, my mother just had to does it herself. I mean, she just went out and made lye soap, and that's it. And I mean, we didn't, and we had, I remember we had old Grandpa tar soap, you know, to wash the grease off our hands. But I mean, we didn't have all the modern detergents they got now. We didn't have all the bleaches. The only thing my mother ever had was bluing. I mean, she'd, well, that's always interesting to me. Pour that bluing in there, and all the tub get blue, you know. And she knew what she's doing, though. But I tell you one thing, and she didn't know what a washer was, except her precious hands. She didn't know what these modern dryers. We had the sunshine, and my mother was always so glad. It seemed like she was so thankful on Monday morning when the sun was shining. Oh, she said, the Lord has given me a good wash day. She was so thankful. I mean, she knew that she could just go wash, and I tell you, she'd sing Sweet Hour of Prayer and What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and to the old rugged cross I'll ever be true. And she'd stand there and wash hour after hour, Brother Scott, with her hands, with that old-fashioned rub board. And just almost seemed, I've been there so many times, listening to her, you know, and I could hear those old hands and going across, you know. Tonight I want to bring something out and show the girls that my mother had. I guess about the only thing I got that I know that she used a long, long time, but I've kept it. But she'd wash and she'd sing. And maybe a lot of work. And then she'd have to wring the clothes. She didn't have a wringer. These hands were wringers. I can see her twist them old legs up, you know, twist them, water out, you know. And then she'd kind of shake them and put them on a barbed wire fence and on the old clothesline. You know, Jesus, you know how he got our detergent? You know where our detergent came from? Came right out of his body. And when they got through drawing all the detergent out of his body, he was dead. It cost him his life to wash our clothes. Did you know that? You talk about a detergent. We've got a tremendous detergent. It'll take an old drunkard and wash that old drunkard heart out of him. It'll take an old hoodlum with that long hair and that old number across his chest, you know, those old mean eyes, and it'll make a preacher out of him. You talk about a large time. We're going to have it in this old barn tonight. I tell you. We used to sing that song, you know, in our football games. There'll be a hot time in the old town tonight. Well, there'll be a great time in the old barn tonight. They really will, because Jesus is going to be here, and a lot of his children are coming in, and it's just going to be a wonderful and marvelous time. I just wish the whole world could climb up here somewhere or get in this cow pasture and listen to what God has done and see what the Lord has done. Well, he said unto him that loved us, now, if he hadn't loved us, he never would have washed us. Now, it's pretty easy. You know, this is the thing that impresses me. Many people will love the lovely, but they won't love the dirty and the unlovely. Did you know it's normal and human to love the lovely? I mean, well, what love you may have, of course, you don't, until you really have the love of God, you don't have any real love. And so, unto him that loved us and then washed us, he loved us when we were dirty. Jesus loved us when we were dirty. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Notice, hath made us kings, verse 6, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, my school teacher, and they used to challenge us. I like the challenge that teachers used to give, and they don't give it anymore. I mean, it's a sight to go to school today. I mean, just like a teacher came here to high school the other day, little old mini-skirted, you know, speaker. You remember that, Joy? Little old thing got in there and not properly dressed, and she danced around up there and kicked around up there. I'm glad I wasn't there. I believe nearly I'd had to walk out. And I don't like to walk out. I don't like to be rude. But I believe if we've come to the place where we can't have any God and any goal and any Jesus and any Bible and anything that reminds you of living right at our graduation services, it's time to close them down. Amen. And time to get our kids out of schools like that. Nothing but a bunch of heathenism. And she said, well, what if you shoot at the sun and hit the moon? So what? It don't make a lot of difference, see? Don't make a lot of difference. Not anything in the message or the service. And the people sat out there and talked and jabbered and no respect. And that's, well, of course, she didn't deserve any respect. But I believe if I'd have been there and stayed, I would have still had to listen. But, I mean, we're living in such a world today. Our schools, I mean, there's no reverence. There's no obedience. And there's a reckless spirit and a violent spirit in the air today. I can remember the time when we had graduation. I'm telling you, everybody was at his best. Boy, listen, those seniors come filing in there, you know, and they were playing some nice music. Many times it's a good church song, you know, maybe Onward Christian Soldiers. I mean, boy, listen, it is something. Boy, we walked in there, and man, I was about half scared to death. I mean, I just walked in there. You talk, why, there wasn't no irreverent, and the mothers and daddies were all there, and you talk about, well, listen, they had on the best clothes they had, and I never will forget my mother. I didn't think I'd ever get a graduating suit. We were so poor, and we had such a hard time. And I thought I'd never get a graduating ring, because I knew we could. That cost $14. $14 to get a graduating ring. How much it cost now? How much? $39. $40. Boy, that's inflation for you, isn't it? Yours cost $25. All right. Well, anyhow, it was a great occasion. My, and you know who brought the baccalaureate address? Some preacher. Man of God came in there and said to young people, listen, you're just beginning. Maybe you stand at the crossroads of life. You must find the will of God. You must do what he says. This old book will be your guidebook. This is your roadmap. This is your blueprint. You think you ever have that? No, they kicked all that out. But look what we're hatching out, too. Look what happened to America when we quit. I mean, when we kicked God out and the Bible out and started letting this bunch of heathens run things, as far as I'm concerned, it's time for God's people to get a divorce. I mean, just about have to pull out. Now, you can call me what you want. You say treason. You want to say treason. But let me tell you something. When we're ruining our young people and we're breaking up homes and hearts and lives, and then we got people that just shack up together, they don't get married anymore. They've got that legalized now, you know. You don't have to get married. That's a waste of money to buy a license. I mean, common law, that's okay. And it's awful common, too, if you ask me. Fact is, it's so common, it's sinful. God's not in that bunch of filth. Never has been and never will be. Now, college campuses are locations of sin and vice and death and bloodshed. But let's skip to the third chapter, and this will be our text. There are many great texts in the Bible. There are many wonderful verses and chapters in the Bible. Fact is, every book and every chapter and every line is divine, but there are some that I believe that would stand out above maybe some of the rest of them. And this verse today that I'm going to give you is, it's Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, verse 18 is a wonderful verse, but I'm not going to have time to go into that one. Just verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, I want to tell you, first of all, who he's talking to. He's talking to seven churches, the churches of Asia Minor. You know what's happened to those churches? They've gotten cold. They've increased in riches. They got better buildings. They got more members. And they got a little more organization. But they've lost their first love. You know what the first love is? You think it's soul winning? No, it's the Word of God. Because you was born. You know who the first person I ever fell in love with? Would you like for me to tell you the name of my first lover? And I've always liked people. I'd rather work with people than anything I ever worked with. They're more interesting because they're permanent. I mean, they have a soul. And so in this chapter, he's telling us about seven churches. Now, you know who my first lover was? My mother. I loved her as the first. I loved her more than I did my daddy. I mean, because I was just around her all the time. My daddy, he'd just kind of get up in the morning, eat breakfast, and, you know, bail out. He'd gone to the field. Man, I had a little old boy coming up, and, well, my mother's right there all the time and around, and she fed me and clothed me and sewed for me and loved me and told me how much she loved me, and she'd kiss me on my cheek when it's dirty just like it would when it's clean. I mean, that's my first lover. That's right. Now, you know why? I was born of my mother. I wasn't born of my dad. Now, I know he was the father, but my mother was the one that gave me birth, and that's my first. And the Bible says, being born, now let's get this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, what do you think my first love spiritually ought to be? Word of God. Why? Born of it. I ought to love the Word of God just like I love my mother. And girls, when you get born of the Word and know that you got two things. Number one, you got an eternal salvation because it's eternal, which incorruptible. You can't corrupt eternal life. You can't lose eternal life. You can't lose everlasting life because it's eternal. And you were born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, you ought to get both of those pictures right there. He said it's incorruptible, it liveth and abideth forever. Now, that's how long you get saved. That's when we ought to have a good time. That's when we ought to rejoice. That's when I enjoy my salvation. I'm not going to have salvation today and maybe lose it tomorrow. I couldn't lose it. Never will lose it. Because it's not mine, it's his. Even David, he got in trouble over there and said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. No, he didn't. You go to the book of Psalms, chapter 51, right quick for me. Will you do that? Psalm chapter 51. And I want you to get the proper emphasis. Psalm chapter 51. And I hope you'll memorize this one real good. Get every line of it. Now, David had lost something, but didn't lose his salvation. No, it didn't say he did that at all. 51, verse 12. Restore to me the joy of what? What did he say? Out loud. All right. Now, remember that. He lost the joy, but it was somebody else's salvation, wasn't it? It's God's salvation. See? And if it's God's salvation, he'll keep it. If it's mine, I'd lose it. I tell you. I lose my glasses. I lose my billfold sometime. But there's one thing I'll never lose. I'll never lose God's salvation because he's taking care of that. Now, if you really believe that, you'd have something to rejoice about. If you could just realize you may lose your health, you may lose your money, you may lose your wife, you may lose a child, you may lose a crop, you may lose, but praise God, you'll never lose God's salvation. Oh, I tell you, that's wonderful. Now, let's go back to the text, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand. That's Jesus. Now, he's knocking on the door of seven churches. Seven churches. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get back in. They've crowded him out. Why, nothing strange about that. He's crowded out today. Why, people have church all over the land. Jesus won't be in many of them because they don't want him. Oh, you talk. Why, he's to be our order of service. Jesus is the only order of service. I won't know anything. He's our life. He's our power. He's our love. He's everything. I mean, that's all we need. And so he said, behold, I stand at the door. Can you imagine the churches back there having such power of God and such a good time, people being saved and the miracles being performed, and yet they said, well, I think we can make it all right without him now. After all, we've got our budget subscribed, and we've got increased in riches, you know, and we're doing pretty good. And, Lord, if you don't mind, let us run it. And there he is standing on the outside. You know what he's doing? Knocking on the door. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man," and really, we could, as we know this chapter, we could say, "If any church hear my voice, if any one of seven hear my voice, and will open the door, I'll come right back in, and I'll sup with you, and you can sup with me." Now, really, I've given you the picture so far as his relationship to the churches, but I want to give you another picture. And I believe this is included in this chapter. I believe that Jesus is saying, "I'm standing at the individual's door, a knocking. And I'm going to prove it before I'm through preaching this one message." You'd say, "Brother Wolf, you mean that here I am, just a little girl, 14 or 15 or 16 or maybe 18, or maybe I'm 12. You mean that Jesus has come to knock on my door this morning?" I do. Indeed, I do. I believe that Jesus is knocking on your door right now. But I want to give you another verse. It's found over in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis. It said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man," which means that the Holy Spirit won't always knock on the door. There'll come a day when that majestic visitor, unless you open the door or come to the door, I believe he'll walk on down the road and leave you. He's not obligated to knock over once on your door if he doesn't want to. And once ought to be enough. If somebody came and knocked on my door one time to bring me some groceries and I was starving, I believe if I could get to the door, I'd go open the door. That's exactly the position and predicament of a sinner. Without Christ, you're starving, you're dead spiritually. And so Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now notice, if any man or any girl or any boy will open the door, will open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Now, girls and friends that are visiting here, would you like for Jesus to come in and enjoy that kind of fellowship today? Behold, he said, "I stand." He didn't say, "I'm going to send an angel." He didn't say, "I'm going to send a friend." He didn't say, "I'm going to send Gabriel." He didn't say, "I'm going to send some saint that's been saved." He said, "I'm going to come and knock myself. I'm going to come and knock myself." You know what kind of hand he knocks with? Nail-scarred hand. A nail-scarred hand. He knocks on your door. Are you listening real good? "Behold, I stand at the door." Jesus is knocking. Bring what he wants. He wants in. You know what? He said, "Behold, I stand at the door." What kind of door is it? It's a door of flesh. It's a human door. It's not a door like it's been slamming back there a couple of times. No, that's not the door that he's talking about. He's not talking about a plank door or metal door or glass door. He's talking about a heart door. And girls, this morning, he's knocking at your door. I'm going to ask you one question before I close the message. Will you let him in? Will you let him in? Remember the song we used to sing? "There's a stranger at your door. Let him in. He has been there oft before. Let him in. Let him in ere he is gone. Let him in. The Holy One, Jesus Christ, the Father's own Son. Let him in." That's it. He wants to come in. Now then, you'd say, "Brother Wolf, how can you prove that he's knocking at my door?" Number one, you're here, aren't you? You could be in some old hell hole today, or you could be at the fishing lake, or you could be at the camping party, but you're here. You'd say, "Yeah, but what does that mean?" It means that God is speaking and knocking through a preacher that he called to preach. And so you hear the word of God today, he's knocking at your door. Some of you didn't know this time last Sunday that you'd be sitting in the hayloft today listening to the gospel, did you? And yet he's knocking at your door. Isn't God wonderful and merciful to get you where you can hear the knock? You can hear the knock. He's knocking at your door. Have you ever really let him in? Have you ever really let Jesus into your heart? Why, that's our only hope. There's no other way to be saved. And so Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door." Now, wait a minute. Something else. He didn't just go sit down on the steps and say, "Well, I think I'll sit here a while, and if they happen to come out, or maybe open the door, I might get an opportunity to get in." No, sir. He took the initiative, didn't he? Because he came and stepped up on the porch of your little old heart and life, and he said, "I better knock They may not know I'm here. I'll knock at the door. And you know, if somebody knocks on my door, I had some guests this morning, and I had to knock on the door two or three times, I think two times, but I didn't knock real loud. And finally, they came to the door. Now, if they hadn't, they'd have missed a quart of fresh orange juice and grapefruit juice. See? I mean, that'd been their business. I mean, if they'd have starved to death for juice, I mean, that it just means they didn't answer the door. I had it right there. But the door was locked. It's locked from the inside. And I didn't have a key. And there they were on the inside. And but directly, what old door opened up. You know what they did? Oh, they said, thank you, brother. And that's the last of that juice. Down she went. Why? They opened the door. And friends, why can't you do that much this morning? I see old Tiny here this morning. I'm so glad to see him. I've prayed for him nearly every day. The Lord would touch his body and heal him. And when I saw him climbing up them stairs, I had a little walking stick in his hand. I said, well, praise the Lord. Good to see him today. And I remember the time when old Tiny opened up the door. That's right, over in old Big Spring. And say, we got a new girl from Big Spring, Tiny, here today. Seemed like a sweet and precious girl. She just came. I like her because she has some tears, you know. I got talking to her, little old tears just rolling down, and you know. And I guess she's homesick, but she's at home while she's here. I mean, we'll just offer all the love and kindness and everything. But I remember the night under that old tent. I remember two men especially, and they made up their mind they was going to let him in. Just let him in. They heard the call. They heard the knock. And all over the country, I'm seeing people, said Brother Olaf. I got saved. I heard him knocking one night while you was preaching. One preacher came the other day, said, I heard him knocking while I was unsaved. I heard him knocking while you was preaching on the radio. You think about how many doors we knock on every day. Thousands and thousands and thousands of doors at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 6:45, 7 o'clock, and all. Did you know that I knock on people's doors at 2 o'clock in the morning? Well, that's the time to knock, isn't it? Just walk up to maybe 1,000 doors, and they write me and tell me, said, Brother Olaf, I set my alarm clock so I can hear you knocking. 2 o'clock in the morning, 30 minutes. And they said, we just turn on the radio. We lay there in the bed or get up and listen. Knocking on the door. Jesus is knocking on the door. Oh, would you let him in today? Have you ever really personally let him in? Let me ask you this. What would you think of Brother Olaf if before my mother went to be with the Lord, a taxi drove up in front of my house, and suppose somebody knocked on the door? And I said, who is it? And said, Sonny boy, it's your mother. I've come to see you. Can you imagine me not going to the door? Well, I said, go somewhere else. I don't have time to fool with you. She said, Sonny boy, you don't understand. It's your mother. I've come to visit with you. I'm the one who gave you birth and nursed you when you were sick and loved you and helped you and took you to Sunday school and church. Till you got saved, it's your mama. And I said, I don't care who it is. I don't want you in my house. Listen, if you knew that I'd do that, you'd lose confidence in me just like that. And yet, you're a lot worse than I would be if you've turned the knock down that Jesus is knocking. If you'd say to Jesus this morning, I don't want you to come in my heart. I don't want anybody that clean and pure and fine and wonderful inside me. I don't want your eternal life. And I don't want you to be my mother. And I'm going to have, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him. That means I'm going to drink with you and fellowship with you. And he with me, that means, see, it goes both ways. We'll eat together. We'll eat together.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.